of you that weren't here yesterday for work and for whatever reasons, but what we're talking about is the line of Seth. And I made a few comments yesterday that I want to make sure everyone understands this too, that that we're not talking a dispensation in Seth. What we're talking about is a line of faith. This is when men started to call on the name of the Lord. And starting with Seth coming down, and we have all these, and I'll go through these names quickly again here in a bit. We have where God started keep tracking the days of his faithful. We talked about Cain and his line, and he didn't do that with them. In fact, let's pray. I'm getting all excited and getting ahead of myself. Brother Jared, do you want to pray for us? Amen. Thank you, brother. I get ahead of myself almost every single day. I'm already working on Monday. So in these lines, this is when Cain slew Abel. The two men, and this is important. We're not talking, another thing we want to make sure we're clear about. We aren't talking about a whole group of people back then, or what God was doing with those people there. What he's giving us, what God gives to us figuratively in type and shadow throughout Genesis. Genesis is the seed of the entire word. The whole Bible is contained in the book of Genesis, from beginning to end. You know, we end up, and another thing to understand with Genesis 2, when it ends in the grave. When Joseph, that's how the story ends there with Joseph, right? We understand that Jesus is life. Jesus is what brings us to this. With Cain and with Abel and Seth, Abel would represent figuratively Jesus before the cross, and Seth after. And that's what God is trying to show us in this. And what he does with this line of them is we see that every one of their names has a spiritual meaning. Whereas the line of Cain, every one of those men their name had a worldly meaning. They were builders, pioneers. They were building the bridges. They were building the buildings. They were building the towers. They were building everything that they were doing was for themselves and self-effort. Everything that you see with the line of Seth is not recorded so what their deeds that they did. It's recorded about the faith that they had. And I'm telling you that if you were going to build an ark, it's going to take a lot of faith. A lot of faith. For as many years as it would take to build an ark, and for all of those guys, and we talked about this, and that's why we handed out those little sheets in the timeline of that these guys almost all knew each other. And I was just talking to the girls here now that it's amazing. So you look at this, and Jared gave me a, if you really want to see a really, really cool timeline chart of everything, ask Jared. He's got a link to a chart that he showed me yesterday that's amazing, even though it looks like it's about this tall and about this wide. It's a big chart, but I've never seen one like this. It was a circular chart that takes everybody, because people don't realize this. When we think about, if we stop and we think about, like, Adam, people think he was bumbling. And typically people, he was created perfect. Paul was educated beyond. And he went to school with Gamaliel, right? Who was the teacher of the time. Paul knew the scriptures better than anybody. But people don't realize that the sciences had already begun. All of this stuff in the world was happening. And the thing I like about that chart was that you can see all of that and how it overlaps in the evolution, you want to call it, or the way mankind has grown. We talked yesterday too that, you know, when God made these empires that there were, he had them there for a reason. These men that were building this stuff from Cain's line were building it for a reason, is to get you to hear. These cell phones, everything that's happened, God has used the men of this world and the builders of this world and the guys, the ungodly men of this world, to provide for the godly. And that's amazing. And that's how important this is. We talked that we have tapped into a line that there is no time. God always has been. They always will be. And they created this short little event, like a capsule inside of this for us. Well, for Jesus. We were made by him, for him, and through him. It's pretty crazy that he would see fit that Jesus should have a helpmate fit for him, just like he did with Adam. And you're part of that. And we run, we persevere, we endure, we run with patience because the goal is him to finish that course. He is the goal. You know, we've talked, I've said that over the years, it's 100 steps, and you know, we start out at zero, every one of us. And even through the parables, you'll see that, you know, these guys get to step five and this is too much, or the first trial hits and I'm out. This is too much for me. Or they don't find a church that sings loud enough or crazy enough or throws balloons around or something that keeps them interested, because they don't take the time to get into the word like we do to find what's interesting. These studies like this fascinate me. I know I told you yesterday, I've always been a huge fan of math and of time. And God is precise, exact, to the nanosecond of what's going on. He knows how far the farthest star is and how long it takes of the light to get from our light to get there, that light to get here. He knows all of it. And like we said yesterday, the hairs on our head is nothing for him. To count all of us in this room is nothing for him. When these men start calling on the name of the Lord, Seth being typical of the resurrected Jesus, they start calling on the name of the Lord, and he started blessing them. And blessed them, and blessed them, and blessed them, that this line of faith runs right directly to this room. That the faithful in Christ all over the planet are part of that line. That they're calling on the name of the Lord, and I can promise you he loves you. And you don't have to take my promise because he said it. Right? All right, let's try and catch up through here. We said yesterday when we talked about Abel, Abel means a vapor or a breath. We're not in this world very long. We are here for a moment. Really, in God's name, we're a twinkling in this place. But he always provides for us enough time to finish this thing. And you know why? Because we're his workmanship, not our own. Thank God, because if we were, we wouldn't even be here. This place would be, it would be a disaster for every one of us. We could never do it. We can't do it without him. John 3:1-8 said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit." The things that Seth represented to us is, he's a type of that new creation. Our born again spiritual life. When we were born again, and I'm going to say this, we know this. When we believed, there was a life born into us. It's not ours, it's his. This is why 1 John says that the child of God cannot sin, because it's impossible. He's holy and he's righteous. There's no sin in him. It's impossible for that new life to sin. Impossible. This flesh, forget about it. It's gonna sin. It's nothing but sin. And it's not, we're not perfecting it. We have no chance of perfecting this. It's a dead horse and we're kicking it for no reason. And when we come to understand that, and I would say that it's 90, anyone in here can make a guess, 90-some% of Christians don't understand what makes them saved. It's that life in you. That life can't die. Will never die. And we are tied into a life that has always been. I mean, the concept of that and just thinking about that alone is incredible. I mean, do you realize, what we're tied into? I can't believe that God is going to take it for the ages to come to show us his exceeding grace. It's incredible. I mean, how much does that be from the God that this has been forever, eternity, no measure of it. And we are going to get to see this and experience this and be there and let him show us right next to him. Just picture it like this when we talk about what the possibilities are, to know that you can be at the throne looking out at the innumerable multitude and not out there looking in. This Bible, this Word of God has this many pages and this many words and this many things in it because it's all we need. And everything that's contained right here is what can get us from step zero or step one to step 100 to finish this course, to be there, to be the person, to be in that bridal company. And all we do is we unfold it one little fold at a time. And he sets and shows us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It's you know, you can't even think of a plant that has enough leaves on it to unfold enough. Nothing can be put together enough to do it, because when you think you've uncovered one thing or you think you've learned one thing, then he shows you something even deeper in it. I can't even tell you over the years, and I was never even, I mean, I would say prior to some of these studies that we've done in Genesis, that I had never only read maybe this once. But then all of a sudden you start seeing this, and then it's the same with Joseph, the life of Joseph, and he'll uncover more and more and more. Exodus, we get to the tabernacle, we get to the ark, we get to everything that he's got has incredible deep meaning, but you're never going to get it the first time. You're going to go back and say, oh, wow, I didn't see that. Next time, wow, I didn't see that. Wow, next time, I didn't see that. I can't believe I didn't see that the first time. Is Christ formed in us? We bear fruit just like Seth did. We grow as Christians. We are lifted into a life with him. Christ is powerful. He is the resurrection. He is the Almighty. He is the King. He is the bridegroom. We started at Genesis 5, and this is where we start talking about this. And I'm going to read this right out of the Bible again here after I just closed it. Because this is important, and I see it, and because this starts a new line. This is God essentially wiping the slate clean. We know he had two sons, Cain and Abel. We know that Cain slew Abel. We know that Cain slew Abel. Why? Because he was wroth. He was mad. He was upset that what he had created and done with his own hands, and he brought to God, that God saw it as self-effort. And Abel shows up with the firstling of the flock, right? With blood. And God had favor on it. Cain was mad. Cain kills Abel, right? But God brought her a new one, Seth. This is how 5:1 starts. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created him, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam. In the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. After the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, there were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. He says right here that he begat Seth. There is no mention of Cain and Abel. He wiped the slate clean and called this life. This is the new birth. This is the new, and I'm not going to say new man, because I want to make sure that we understand that he is still part of the old creation, right? And he wasn't, there was nothing special about him. This is when men started calling on the name of the Lord, because I had a few questions about that yesterday. It's the line of the faithful, right? The The men of Cain, the worldly guys that we were talking about, we probably don't need to go through Cain's definitions again, but what we did talk about yesterday with these guys, that they all knew each other. These guys lived 800, 900 years. They actually spent time together. I mean, I don't know if they would call family unions the same thing, but I'm sure the families were together, because even then it took a family unit to take care of things. I mean, they would have known each other as grandpa or great-grandpa or forefather, whatever they would have called it back then, because they'd actually spent time together. That means, I culminated the whole thing really with Noah, because Noah was the end, not the end of that line, but he's the one that went into the flood, right? They got on the ark, and these guys go through, and none of these guys lived to see that. Incredible how this applies directly to us, the church, coming into tribulation, that he will remove us before that. That Enoch was taken alive, taken, translated, and represents that company, that Philadelphia company that will be taken out alive. And I'm going to tell you, I think I've told you guys this before, I know, I fully 100% believe it happens in my lifetime, because I dreamt it over and over and over and over again when I was a child. And didn't even know it until he told me. A few years later, I kept having this dream. I'm telling you, some of you guys probably haven't heard this. I used to have this dream of a little kid. I was six or seven when it started. And I think it's because I like Baa Black Sheep so much, and I liked airplanes that, you know, they had the siren, and the siren would come off, and that's in my head, that's what I heard. And I think that was in my mind, might have been the Trump. And I would ran to my family, we all ran outside, and then everybody started running away. And I kept telling everybody, no, wait, come back. I can see it as perfectly right now as ever. They're the backs of their shoes running down the hill from our house on the dirt road. I said, don't go, this is a good thing. And then this wind comes up, and I put my hands up, and this wind comes wrapping around me like this and picks me up, and I fly over the top of the house looking down, which to this day, I wish I had looked up in the dream. And I went right over the top, and after I saw the valley coming up, the dream ends. Every time, exactly the same. I dreamed that year after year after year. And a few years ago, I asked God, I said, because I pray for visions, and everybody should. Pray for dreams, pray for visions, because he'll do it. He'll give them to you. Spiritual dreams, you'll remember for good. You know, we have some wild dreams that we don't remember the next morning, but spiritual dreams, you'll remember. Ask him for them. He will deliver. So I asked him a few years ago, I said, Father, I really want to see the rapture. I really want to see what it looks like or what it feels like. I said, I prayed to dream about it. And he answered me as simply as this, you have. And he brought that dream right back to me, and I dreamt the dream except at a different age that night. So I fully believe it happens in my lifetime, and it's close. It could be today. And because I want to fly. But I really like I'd really like the chariot of fire and the horse to come down there to pick me up. I think that'd be cool too. Cain's life represented the great men of the world, self-made, aligned without God. The way of sacrifice leads to God, not the way of self-effort. Self-effort will get you nowhere with God. He has no respect for persons. He has no respect for what we've done. He could care less if you could run the mile in 20 minutes. He could care less if you could do any of it. Doesn't mean anything to him. You know, when Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. This stuff's dead. There's no sense in going on and getting in. That life that's in you is going to be immediately with him. Isn't that amazing? I love that. I don't want to test it out. Anyone to test it out on me right now, but we will be. No, I'm kidding. I would love for it to happen right now. For us to understand and to know the incredible grace of God to have put this whole plan together for one purpose only, to create something for his son. He built the kingdom. He's populating it now. Who do you want to be there? What do you want to do there? I'm going to say that we probably want to pick to be with him always next to him, holding his hand amidst the throne. That's who we want to be. We don't want palm. We want a crown. We want to be right there with him. So now I'm going to run, I'll go through, and I won't go through all the definitions, but I'm going to tell you on, with Seth, the meanings of the names of his son, like I said, are quite remarkable. His spiritual growth, you know, we did the study last year, like I said, on the days of creation, the 7 days, and it goes through, and how in that, in this world, you could see there was light, and every single day, growth, until he made man. All of that would be our spiritual walk from being the light that first came in when we first believed to the growth that we started having, to us getting excited, to us getting to worship, to us getting to praise, to us getting to thank, to us getting to the to where we glow to the grow to the very image of Jesus Christ. The very image, conformed to it. And that, as we go through all this time, we saw that happen with those creation days, and you see the exact same thing in the names of these sons. Seth made appointed, and you said it was substitute Jared found. And I'll tell you, that fits. These, when we look at this, every single thing, whether, I don't care if it's geography in the Bible, or if it's the names, or like Ty's got a wonderful study on the numbers, or numbers, God put it there for a reason. There is, and people, you know, we get people that are looking, and we know there was other epistles, because they're mentioned. It talks about them in here. The one to Laodicea. You know why we don't need it? Because it doesn't. Anyone that needs an epistle to Laodicea isn't reading the Bible anyway. We get it and study it because exactly what we need to finish this race course is right here. He didn't tell us what happened in that first tragedy, in that first judgment, when the world was found in darkness and void, because we know it wasn't made that way. It was made to be inhabited, right? It was made to be inhabited, lush, green, provide for life, but it wasn't found that way. We know something, and he doesn't tell us what happened. You know why? We don't need to know. So if there's something that we want to know and we can't find it in there, we don't need to know it. Quit wasting your time. You know, I get, it's hard too, like these, even like these studies, like we start putting these years together and putting this incredible knowledge. And God wants us to know it, and God wants us to want it, and he wants us to learn it. But we have to be careful not to get so tied up into it. Try mapping out tribulation. You can do it the rest of your life, and you've just wasted a whole lot of time. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen exactly the way God said it, because we get, but don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful study to figure the 250 days, it was shortened, and to really lay it all out. But I know so many people that get so caught up in it that's all they study. Grace is where we need to be. Learning grace, studying grace, letting grace grow in us. That's exactly where we need to be. These studies like this, the beauty and the knowledge of this is because it was provided by grace. He wants us to know this, because if you truly are going to love someone, you should probably know them. And if you're going to marry someone, you better hope that they love you and you love them, right? How do you get to know someone? To get to know him, he's right here. He's in this study. He's in every study that we've done. He's in every study, every Wednesday, every study, every time we get together. If we're two or more gathered, he's with us. We just talk about him. We get to know him. The thing I really love is admire is not even the right word. I praise him and thank him for not only the wisdom for putting this all together and giving it to us this way, but also putting it in a way that we have to search it. Again, it's not just reading this thing, right? It's studying. Study to show thyself approved. And as we study this and we get to know this, I tell you, we're getting to know him more and more intimately every single time. Seth, appointed substitute. Enos, as we grow, so in Seth, that was the light. Enos means frail man. That was a son. Born and no more self-reliance. Frail. when we're born as children, right? We're born in that, and that, it's funny, I think about this all the time. You know, God made almost every creature on the planet able to sustain itself immediately. We don't. I mean, I for sure didn't. It didn't until just maybe a year or two ago that I got around to it. And but we need to be fed. Amen. We need the milk. I mean, you can take a child and give him, and then we need the solid food, right? You can take a child and give him milk for 20 years, and he's going to have problems because he's going to grow into solid food. This is us. We're the same way spiritually. If we don't get the, we go from the milk of the word to the solid food, and then we digest and take all that we can get. Without it, we are not going to be healthy Christians. We are not going to be healthy members of this body. We have to be fed. Canaan means their gain. In the spiritual sense, this is when we start growing. Mahalalil, that's close, the praise of God. Now we're coming to that worship days. That's when we start seeing the life really come on the planet when we were doing that study. Jared means let him contend. Fight the good fight of faith. Run with patience, run with endurance. It's a long race. It's going to take a while. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. People will take this, we got to go out there and pull the sword and start fighting. What did God say to do? What did Jesus say? Stand. And withstand. I can do that. Because our nature would be to slash and cut and bite and jump in there and jump on, and then that's not what he wants us to do. We're his workmanship. Enoch, I love the name. Dedicated. Says it all in one word. Dedicated. Taken. Translated. He didn't die. God took him because he walked with him. He represents a full overcomer, that Church of Philadelphia. Methuselah, at his death it shall be seen. And I won't go through the old chart again, but remember we gave the little chart yesterday. Methuselah represents that last body of the church, or that last translation of the church that's raptured out. Because at his death it shall be seen. At his death the waters came. That year. When he died, he never saw the flood. And we mentioned this yesterday. And this is another thing I want everyone to make sure we understand. There was believers out there too. But the world was chaos. God tells us in the word, chaos. This line of the faithful fully believed in what Noah was doing. There's no way they didn't. They called on the name of the Lord. They were faithful. God recorded them in this. And if they would have been there at the time that water started filling up, they'd have got on, but they didn't have to because God took them. It's beautiful. I'm going to tell you right now, if you really thought that you were going to go through the second half of tribulation, you should be prepared before. But you're not. You know why? Because he's going to take you. He is going to take you. These guys, that world would have been chaos beyond. Right then, he tells us that, so much so that he brought the judgment back down on it, flooded the place out. Methuselah is such a bit, it's so beautiful that you take all of these years and all of this time and you put all of this together and it adds up exactly to the year that came. Starting with Adam, it's zero. Unbelievable. And this is all out of scripture. Every one of these years, everything is recorded there. When we put this and you start counting all this stuff, God put it there so we could see it, so we could understand it. Lamech was the last of the sons, representing those calling on him after. Okay, this is where we left off. So I just wanted to catch us up because we had a bunch of people that weren't here yesterday. And we are doing good. The exactness of the word of God in every single thing that he has put anywhere, particularly with Israel and with the Jew. You know, he dealt with even the book of Numbers. Everything that has always happened with them has been precisely to the day, to the number. He doesn't deal with us that way, not with the church. We are here to seek. We are here to to grow. He left it in mystery form for us so that we would have to look. Why? Because it's going to get us closer to him. It's going to get us to know him more. It's going to get us to be more like him, because as we fall in love with him, we're going to become more like him, conform to the very image. At Methuselah's death, judgment came. 2 Peter 3:4-7. We read this and saying, where is the promise of his coming? This is what happened. This is what's happening today. These men, this line of Cain back then, I have to stay away from that speaker. This line of Cain back then, they all looked at Noah and they all looked at these sons of Seth, this line of Seth. You guys are nuts. I promise you, if the whole town over here knew we were up here right now, they'd think we're all nuts. The builders of this world, the self-reliant, the self-effort, the self-appealing ones don't care. Those guys back then, I said this yesterday, and I always say this, I always try and put myself in scripture. Can you imagine the mockery? The mockery that Noah faced with these guys walking around, talking, pointing, probably throwing rocks. Who knows what was going on, thinking you're building a boat on dry land. How are you going to get that big sucker in the water? Really, think about this. I mean, can you imagine how the ridicule must have been? But he kept building. Kept building. Faith, right? He had a insurmountable faith. Those ones before him believed him because they believed God. The line of Cain had a son named Lamech also. If you read in the scripture, when Cain slew Abel, remember what God said to him? The sin offering is at the door. The sin offering is at the door to him. The way Lamech saw this was, he says, well, my forefather got away with murder. Why shouldn't I? I'll do it, just prove it. They were both the last of the line. These two lines will be complete. We mentioned this. You know, Paul teaches us that there's a mystery of iniquity and a mystery of godliness, and they both grow. They're both growing. With this case right here, both of these sides of these lines, Seth and these guys, and this Lamech, were both growing. And I can tell you another thing, in 2,000 some years, Satan has gotten really, really, really good at deceiving us. He knows exactly what to do to us, exactly how to talk to us, exactly how to treat us. But we know exactly who to follow. This grace, the grace of our Lord is our guide. The grace of our Lord is the love. It's the faith. It's the knowledge. It's the understanding. And you know, when his mercy, you know, when Isaac went up there, it was grace that provided the ram. It was grace that put Jesus on the cross. It's grace that we grow by. And it's what do we want to grow in? The grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Every bit that we come to know, every bit that we come to understand, every bit that excites us, every bit that opens our eyes a little bit more to it is good. There's the steps of a good man, right? The spiritual man, strong in the Lord. And Cain died. Lamech, the worldly man, strong in himself. The worldly man taking advantage of God's grace. I'll just murder too. Cain got away with it, so will I. Mocking it as to how important it to be to he must be to the world. People do it today. When we think, and I'll get back to the scripture. I just got off on this Lamech thing. we think about the way people are with the church and the way people are with Christianity today, if Christianity doesn't have some sort of flavor or taste or excitement, or if it's not a concert, people won't go. And why in the world are they going there for once a week to bust out some songs grows them is beyond me. And it happens everywhere. I mentioned yesterday, these mega churches now. I mean, you can see how this remnant, this faithful remnant, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller before our eyes, getting smaller. In the short time that I've been, God started showing me this message a long time ago, but I had no idea that anybody else, that you guys were here. Then after I started seeing where the message was really at, it has gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. You know why? Because he's coming sooner than we think. He's coming. And I get chills. It could be today. Everything's been fulfilled. He knows when God knows. We just need to be prepared. Okay. And 2 Peter 3, 4 through 7 says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Where is the promises of his coming? That's what the world's saying. I have friends. I have friends that believe it really isn't coming. Christian, good friends. The very friend that I talked about yesterday that said, I want God's best, thinks it's probably just not real. It's real. But it's exactly him saying that. I'm telling you, a good Christian man. Where's the promise of his coming? We'll be ready. I promise you, Brother Copley thought he was coming then. Yes. Brother Hill thought he was coming then. He's coming. Amen. He's coming. When that last bridal saint's ready, he's here. He's here. I put Noah in the back of this because I wanted to talk about Noah just a little bit, because he's the last of this line that we see. And what Noah represents Israel with Jesus going through that flood. Never got wet. That ark did not leak. No judgment could come inside of it. Jesus is the ark. With Noah coming through that and then coming out on the other side. When we talked about this a little bit yesterday, when Israel comes out on the other side of that thing, it will transform nations. Nations will be converted at the testimony of them. And they will come to have realized who they crucified. That's a lot of testimony in itself. A lot of testimony in itself. For had they known, they would have never crucified him. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that they didn't recognize him. To coming this time, there'll be people that, these guys are saying, where is the promise of coming? These Christian saints don't recognize him. Wouldn't normally come. That's why when the Antichrist does come, he's going to look so good. He's going to look wise, smart, got to fix for everything. People don't recognize him. And there's only one way to recognize him, and that's to get to know him. We have to get to know him. And to get to know him is right here. It's what we're talking about right now. It's growing in grace. The grace that God has shown us. We were talking a little bit this morning. This is a good point, because someone asked me yesterday, because when I had mentioned the dispensation, but what I'm talking about in the dispensation is there is seven ages. And the ages that he's given us is, in every age, there has been a responsibility that God has given to man. And there has been a failure by man to do it. And there's been a judgment every single time. Do you know why all these ages were here? To show us the ultimate, absolute need for God's grace. Period. That without his grace, nothing could be done. We were doomed. With God's grace, and the grace he's shown, the grace that put Jesus on the cross, we have direct access to the throne of God. So come boldly, right? Come boldly to it. The name Noah means comfort and rest. His father said, this same shall comfort us in our work and from the toil of our hands. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. Do you love this scripture? Now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This kingdom's built. He's populating it. He knows our heart. And he has given, he has shown an abundance of grace. All that you need, all that we need to complete this course, to finish this race, to attain to that bridal company, to open, to see, for us to get and understand this bridal truth. People will talk, and Christians would come to you and say, that God would never do that. God would never put somebody above. God would never. You know why? They won't pick this thing up. They won't open it. They won't look. They won't study. All you got to do is ask God. You literally just have to ask. I want your best, right? I want your best. Show me. He will show you. He will put it before you. Whether or not you choose it, whole different thing. I choose it. And I want it. And I want to finish it. I want to run this course. And I am going to stand on that word that he says he will do it. Because I know I can't. It has to be him. You talk about frail. Frail doesn't even come. We'd be a tinkling big mess of junk on the ground if it was us. I would. It's him. I will complete that good work in you. Isn't that right? All right. Let's take a few minutes, and we'll come back. Take 10, 15, something like that. We'll be good.